Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's time for the Luke and Pete Show. I just shouted a really naughty word at producer Finn. Luke is with me. It's a Monday. Hope you're feeling good, everyone.
I'm the eponymous Luke in the Luke and Pete Show.
Yes, yes, please.
I'm feeling all right. Are you feeling okay?
I'm looking all right.
Another week in... I disagree with that. Another week in paradise, Pete.
Another week in paradise, baby!
Baby, baby!
We're going to go on and talk about some of the subjects, but for the Luke Pitcher.
Some of the subjects?
Some of the subjects. And Luke said, I'm probably going to need some more stuff to front load the start of the show. And I reacquainted myself with deer shedding velvet.
We're going straight with that.
I reacquainted myself with it. Because and it's disgusted me even more than when I first looked at it.
And your threshold for disgust is very high these days.
Mate, like I am horrible.
Almost as high. Your threshold for disgust is almost as high as my wife's.
Mine's like kind
living
of
with me.
Mine's kind of like I'm at like fracking levels of disgust now. I've got no disgust left in me. You're just trying to find, just do little mini explosions and try and draw it out for me.
Your level of disgust is now so high, it's a bit like continental drift. Like, we know it's, all of us know it's happening, but we can't really observe it. Yeah. It's like evolution.
I used to be a whole man, like Pangea, and then just broke off into, like, just disparate bits.
Oh, mate, I can imagine how many bits you were kind of broken into now. Mm. I reckon probably... I mean, how many continents are there? North America, South America, Europe, Africa, Asia, Australasia. Mm. Probably count Antarctica. So there's seven.
I'm the Galapagos Islands.
Yeah.
I'm just in bits.
You're Lonesome George. Is he dead now, Lonesome George? I'm going to look that up.
Who's Lonesome George?
He was the last surviving tortoise.
Oh, well, he'll still be around, won't he?
Of the old Charles Darwin trip. Oh, he died in 2012, mate.
Oh, fuckings. That's awful. Awful news.
I think it's a bit, personally, I think it's a bit embarrassing. Mm. And fair enough, he was the rarest creature in the world. Mm. You can have that, George.
Yeah.
And no one can take that away from you. I think it's a bit embarrassing. The world's most famous tortoise, a species in and of themselves that are known for their longevity. Mm. And he's only turned up for 102 years.
Bar off, mate. Give us a 200er.
Some of it, at least.
Yeah. We've heard about an octopus that has never died.
Yeah, yeah.
And that whale that's 400 or some shit.
Well, there's the Greenland shark, which probably lives for hundreds of years. And there's a bowhead whale, which lives for hundreds of years. There's apparently the Greenland shark, I don't think it's been absolutely observed, but based on the study of it, that there's reasonable evidence to suggest that the Greenland shark can live for 500 years.
That's incredible, isn't it? Can you imagine how much derision it would have for the Gen Xers of their lives? You know what I mean?
Like
Shark's going, whatever Gen Xers with your lattes and your avocados. What are you talking about this century? No, 3 centuries ago.
In the Greenland shark world, the young ones aren't pissed off with boomers for the housing market. They're pissed off with Elizabethans.
Yeah, they're just like, fuck off the spinning Jenny generation.
Yeah.
Piss off the Industrial Revolution pricks.
Do you want to... Smogged up the fucking world.
Smogged up the world.
Do you want to know what the record is?
Thames got loads of boats in it.
So apparently, as of July 2020, marine biologists have reported that aerobic microorganisms, I guess that means, and I'm off the... Yeah, I'm
you're off, for being off, tracky, off the reservation. Yeah.
That means, I guess, small, very small organisms that use oxygenated oxygen for respiration, whatever it
uses.
Yeah, guess what? The longest living one has lived to. And I'll give you a little bit more extra information. They live 226 feet below the sea floor in the Pacific Ocean.
Are they the ones that get high off the old sulfur and stuff? They can just withstand everything.
Unconfirmed.
All right.
Yeah, like the extremophiles we were talking about.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Guess how long that those organisms have lived for?
200.
What?
200 years.
You want to be a little bit more ambitious?
50,000 years.
101.5 million years.
That's too much.
It's too long.
He's lying.
Yeah.
He's like that. I remember watching a TV show on ITV, like a breakfast TV show, where I misheard how long a juggler had been juggling for, and I thought he was legitimately 500 years old.
How old were you?
He was like a man with a moustache and a jester's costume.
How old
were
you?
For some fucking reason. I was a 4.
Okay.
Or 5 or something. And he came on the television and they said, he's done 400, 500 dates over the last, appearances over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And I took that to mean he's 500 years old. I was like, that guy is 500 years old.
Fuck.
And juggling keeps you young.
Yeah.
He's still had a proper 80s tash though, enjoyably.
What about trees? There's been trees observed to live for 14,000 years.
Too long, baby, too long.
And there are some other fungus, I think, that have lived for sort of 40-odd thousand years. Ooh. But if you're talking actual animals, listen, mate, if you want to talk about aquatic animals, you want to talk about the glass sponge.
Right.
10,000.
Disgusting. Disgusting.
That's a whole new world to me, because I think before I'd read all that and before we'd done this kind of show, if someone said to me, look, what do you think the longest an animal can live for?
Mm.
And there's probably a little bit of a debate around what's an animal and what isn't, but I wouldn't be thinking it'd be that long.
No, too long. Is it that you can't even... I'll deal with 100 years of your life. I can't be arsed for the rest. It's a nonsense.
What were you saying before?
Well, two things. The trees won't live very long if people keep hammering fucking coins into them.
Oh,
in Scotland. Wish trees. What's that about?
It's a big
Is
fashion.
That a new thing?
It happens in the Lake District as well.
What? So people just turn up with a little claw hammer and they hammer in coins into trees and kill them.
Is that how they're doing? No, I don't
think
they're
I think they're hammering it in.
I don't think they're killing them.
No, but they say it's damaging the trees, they say.
Yeah.
They do look badass, though, when there's loads of them in.
Well, I saw the best one I've seen would have been, for those listening who are familiar with that part of the world, the base of Air Force, which is a nice kind of Lake District peak to climb.
Mm.
There's a felled tree there.
Mm.
Really, really long tree trunk.
Yeah.
Meters long. And it's full of coins.
Amazing.
All the whole thing. I reckon.
I've never heard about it. It's a bit like lock on an Italian bridge or a French bridge, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think if you got all the money from that one tree trunk, I reckon about £4. Which is not bad.
Yeah, not bad for a day's work.
Yeah.
No,
you're talking about deers.
I was talking about deers. Now, are you familiar with deer velvet?
Not really.
It's an adorable, fluffy sort of membrane that covers the deer antlers, the male deer antlers.
Oh, right, okay.
For a very small window every year.
Are those antlers made of hair?
Well, it's keratin,
generally,
isn't it?
Yeah,
it's keratin,
okay.
Yeah. It's very strong.
So like a fingernail type
thing, okay. So for a few weeks or whatever, months during the year, this kind of like soft velvet appears over the deer's antlers, and it looks lovely. It looks really fluffy.
Lovely, yeah.
It looks like an extension of their heads. It makes their antlers look less aggressive.
It looks a bit like they got the antlers from John Lewis.
It does, yes. Or yeah. It looks like the sort of Sylvanian family's feel, kind of
yeah.
skin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
But when the antlers grow bigger and bigger, they're something astonishing happens. Something disgusting happens. Basically, the velvet just explodes off the top of their spiky antlers, and there's blood and guts,
like
and
a blister.
It looks like the deer has been like just absolutely been scrapping like you would
oh
not
my
believe.
God.
It's just like this rotting flesh coming off the top of these deer antlers, and it goes from being the most adorable thing in the world to the most disgusting thing in the world. Google shedding velvet deer. It is so violent looking. But it's a natural part of just the deer shedding its
doesn't
velvet.
Doesn't hurt them, no.
Doesn't hurt it.
But it looks horrible.
It looks like it's been ran through an abattoir.
I think I've seen that. And I think I thought from a distance it was just that they had... Because, you know, they put twigs and leaves in their antlers, the stags, to make themselves look bigger.
Right, do they?
So it's like a mating ritual, I think. So they'll dig their antlers into the brush to make the antlers look as big as possible. I thought they were just doing that, but it might have been that.
So you could make like the toughest deer just by sticking a big afro wig on it, just massive hair.
I think if you would have just assembled twigs and grass and branches over your head as a younger man, you would have been much more virile.
I mean,
if that's possible.
People wouldn't discount it. No, it's completely impossible, to be quite frank. Yeah, so give that a Google, people, because that really shocked me. Up there with elephants with boobs, to be quite frank. Awful, awful stuff.
Well, actually, not even just limited to elephants, like a load of different animals suddenly just appearing with boobs.
With boobies, yeah.
And exactly. and the old, remember we had that chat about why you never saw a T-Rex penis or balls?
Yes, and
the whole point is just, I think, or with boobs, I think the whole point is because lizards are different, basically.
Yeah, lizards are different. That's what the emails came in as.
Yeah.
Pete, Luke,
no, I saw that on Blue
lizards
Planet.
Are different. Lizards are different.
Just David Attenborough said it. Can I just tidy up a bit of admin from last week's shows?
Yeah.
We had some final results in our Linda Lusardi versus Hitler sword fight poll.
Mm-hmm.
Linda ended up with 66.2% of the vote in the end, so good on her.
Well done, Linda.
A consistent performance, actually, because at the time of recording, I think she's about 68.
66, yeah, yeah.
So she didn't actually lose too much of the vote.
Smashing.
And the other piece of admin I wanted to say is that I completely forgot to say... A couple of weeks ago, you know, I went to the US and you asked me what I did there and I told you a few things that I did. I didn't tell you that I went ice skating, right?
Oh, right, okay.
And that's not that interesting in and of itself, but I was with the in-laws and they're all like natural born skaters. So my wife does regular ice skating sessions down near where we live.
Mm-hmm.
Her brother went to like state championship with his ice hockey team at college or whatever it was. Might be high school actually. Her dad played ice hockey till he was in his 50s. And so what I'm trying to get at is that, like, it's okay to be bad at ice skating, but it looks worse when you're the only one there that can't do it. It's basically
they can't do it really well as well.
It's like going swimming with, you know, Adam Peaty's family.
Yeah. I'm quite a good swimmer, but I
can't skate.
Right. I'm quite good for me, who's been skating about 4 or 5 times. I reckon I'm all right at it,
What does that look like in reality, though?
Can go backwards.
Can you?
I can go backwards.
So that's actually decent.
Right. I can do a little pirouette if I need to.
No, you can't.
I can do
a
little pirouette,
mate. How did you know how to do that?
Roller disco.
Is it the same thing, then?
Yeah, same thing, isn't it? Just with blades on your feet.
And more jeopardy if you fall over.
And more jeopardy if you fall over.
Do you go with the full... If I said to you, right, we're going ice skating in a minute, and here's some elbow pads, some knee pads, and some good ice skates, you're away, are you?
Yeah, I'd have a lovely time. Do you have elbow pads and knee pads?
I don't know. I just thought you might want them for protection.
Protection, yeah.
You, speaking of roller booting, roller skating, you call it?
Yeah.
I think I had roller boots rather than...
It was kind of like a 70s disco kind of Saturday afternoon roller disco for the kids. Where the kid, you know, when I was 16, I would just go around.
That's a bit old for it, isn't it?
Well, maybe not that old then. Yeah. Maybe about 14. You know, sort of going round on a... Going round and round while they play sort of... I got the key, I got the secret.
That's nostalgic for me, and I didn't even do it.
It's nice, yeah.
The reason I say that is because...
Millhouse Leisure Centre, that's where they count all the votes.
Where?
When they find out, Millhouse Leisure Centre, that's where they count all the votes. Where they go, Hartlepool's declared. Oh, declare for UKIP again.
What, you whizzing behind them in a roller boot?
Yeah, exactly.
Putting your fucking ballot in. Sorry, I'm late. Screech into a hole. But a guy I live with at uni, Richie Scottney, great guy. He is an editor now for Sky Sports.
He's
a cracking fella.
Yeah,
I lived with him at uni for a couple of years. He was massively into roller hockey, which I didn't even know was a thing until I met him. And it's a brutal sport.
So it's a little bit like ice hockey, but with rollerblades, presumably.
Roller boots.
Roller boots, yeah. Okay, right. That would interest me more because you'd be more still. Are you allowed to take the gloves off and start wailing?
I think so. But I'll be honest, I mean, he won't mind me saying this. I mean, sure, he's not now, but he was a fighter. And he was also, he went into his boxing and he was tough.
Right.
And he had a massive scar on his on his nose and kind of mouth from a roller hockey dust up.
Right, okay.
So I think it can be quite brutal.
Can get a bit tasty.
Yeah.
With people who play ice hockey into their 50s, do sort of the more mature leagues, and I'm sure your father-in-law will probably correct us, like, do you punch each other in the face?
Nah, it's not really a thing. They don't do it in college hockey either.
No.
It's only in NHL. So when Larry was playing, he was playing with... when I saw him, he was playing with Mimi's brother. So it was like an all ages team.
Right.
Okay. I guess he's just good at it. And so he was able to do it. And he was still in pretty good shape. So there was a mixture of different ages. I would say it's probably like, it would be like having a five-a-side team where you'd actually have a team, but it's just five-a-side, basically. It was basically like pickup.
Right.
Like,
I see.
Hockey,
okay.
Basically. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so and the other thing that's interesting about that is roller derby, which is kind of a bit of a subculture, isn't it?
I cannot. It's always mates, female mates who have tattoos, just really into that.
Very punky.
And every weekend they're just damaging themselves.
Yeah,
just,
I think it looks quite
but
brutal.
I don't know what the rules are. I've watched a bit of it. I don't know what it's all about. It's just people pushing each other over and hurting themselves.
So
really.
one of them tends to have a star on their helmet, which means they have to lap the other team.
Right, okay.
But then your team has to support them by stopping the other players and stopping the other person.
It's horrific.
It's quite brutal.
It's really brutal.
And one I've seen, I saw a video of it where the rink was banked as well.
Yes.
Almost like a velodrome, which is quite cool.
I went for a gone all over the houses here, but I went for a dog walk around Haddon Castle. And round the back of there's like a park, and a lot of it was used for the 2012 mountain biking and stuff.
Oh, cool!
I was skipping down the rocks and stuff.
Well, that's the legacy the Olympic Committee wanted.
Exactly. Yeah, me skipping down there, going, "This is easy."
Yeah. was it quite steep?
It was just really like loads of different rocks and stuff, and I was like, "God, they will have had to meticulously put this kind of route together and stuff," and it goes all over the place. And it was, I mean, you would not want to go down there on a bike. That's ridiculous.
I think we would all like to see you.
I think we'd all like to see. Yeah. Well, you know,
have you got a mountain bike in the garage?
No, I haven't. No, just take me scooter.
Take your moped down it. That'd be mad. By the way, before we go to a break, I wanted to ask you about, because we mentioned this on the Football Ramble late last week, about you going to Cliveden House or Cliveden House?
Yeah, okay.
What is it, Cliveden House?
Cliveden House. It's where the Profumo affair happened.
Huh.
Where Keeler and them got
where
caught.
Where is it?
It is in near Maidstone. Stunning, kind of just big house where Tories lived.
I wonder if that's the hotel that the ITV team for the Euros were staying in, because they were staying in a hotel near
really?
Maidstone.
That's crazy. No, that would be. I mean, that would be throwing money at the problem there. But yeah,
well,
I mean,
it's
an incredible bit of work. But the I'm obsessed with the fact that some car drivers get away with just having like four numbers on their plates.
Yeah, you can have any approved number if you personalise.
No, but this is like it's just numbers. Just throw.
Yeah, you can do that.
No, you need letters in there, don't you?
Nah,
you do.
Do you?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So my point is, Guernsey number plates, they don't have MOT, they don't have road tax, but they have this kind of like numbering system where...
How do they even get the cars here?
Well, exactly. So it could be like 1123 or 1433, and that's your whole registration plate.
Right.
And it's black plate, silver letters. It looks really badass, and that's why rich people put them on their Rolls Royces, because it's, you know, really
it's
unique.
Classic.
And it's classic. I was like, I was like, why are they allowed? Why does everyone else have to have, like, you know, either personalised number plates or my classic DU67
or
something?
Don't give it out.
Why? What are they going to find out? I drive a Fiat.
Well, you might get advanced number plate recognition. You might get a parking fine or something.
Oh, shit. Yeah, maybe. I don't know how that would work. But, the situation where they're allowed to import, they're allowed to have them in the country for like 6 months, and they got to get rid of them or re-register them as a car here. You're not allowed foreign number plates, I realise, after a certain period of time.
When those kind of wealthy Middle Eastern guys bring their cars over to just hoon around Mayfair once a year.
Got to take them back soon.
Is that what they do? They literally like taking your car on holiday, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. And there are companies that do that. The guy next door to me, I think I said before on the show that that's his job. He sort of moves cars around the country and beyond.
Yeah, but around the country is easy enough.
Yeah, it is easy enough.
Just drive it. I mean, it's designed
no,
for
you
it,
put
it.
No, you put it on the truck. You don't. You would not interest someone on a long distance. Well, I was you want to drive like an F1 car down the motorway.
Do you know what I was reading the other day? When I went to the airport to go to the US, we parked in the official Heathrow airport parking.
They're planes, mate. They don't need registration.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, they fly. You would not believe what they get up to up there.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe the range. No, and I read that... So what people do, because Heathrow parking, if you don't book it in advance, can be quite expensive.
Right.
So there's lots of... There's like a kind of other industry that's grown up around major airports where you basically hire or you rent or you buy a big piece of land and you set it up as a car park.
Right.
And you
yes.
just charge cheaper fees, right? Mm. They all look, not all of them, but some of them look a little bit kind of ropey. And I was reading, I don't know how I got onto this, but I was reading that what a lot of those car parks have been found to be doing is they just use them as like, well, they know when you're going to be back. Because you have to give the information.
Mm.
And they just use them as their own private car. Lots of people reporting that their mileage
has gone up massively.
Way up. Because basically, some little scroat in the car park is like, well, that's the best car here. So I'll just have that for 2 weeks. And just taking it home.
Oh, why would you not just take your kit on keys, though? Why would you hand over the keys?
Because you can valet park and all the rest of it, yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, that is...
naughty, isn't it?
That is naughty. But and it's a high-risk manoeuvre, one would say.
Imagine if you crashed it.
Yeah. I miss the whole... I miss the whole sort of match day parking. You don't see that as often enough anymore. Like, kind of just, it'll just be some bloke who's got a back garden that's quite large.
So that weirdly, that still happens a lot in Twickenham.
Oh, right. Okay.
Outside the rugby stadium.
Yeah.
Nice area around there. And people I've seen time and time again, because my wife and I go walking on the river quite a lot. That's really nice around there. It's a nice summer's day. You go for a walk on the river and you have to go through that part of Twickenham to go wherever it is we want to go. And on a rugby match day, I don't know anything about rugby, so I have no idea when the games are playing, but I guess if you go there on a random Saturday, there might be a game on.
Mm.
There's people with little cardboard signs up in their posh houses,
saying
like, you can fit two cars here, 30 quid an afternoon or whatever.
They do. There's an app that's quite good where it's like you can rent out people's front like drive or whatever. So if you've got like a two-car drive, you can just get an app and you just find one close to it. And there are so many people doing it. It's 10 a day or whatever.
Do you think people listening are enjoying this?
Car no. Chat. No, look.
If this is the first show you've come to, the first episode, we don't do that much about cars.
We've had Shedded Velvet. We've had why are this before we go to a
old
break,
animals.
I would like to go back to the car park chat. Thank you.
Okay, sorry.
Why does every new car park you park in require a different fucking app? There's like a million competing apps. I've got like 7 different apps
on
my phone.
I'm just pay by phone. That's all I use. Yeah. That's the one here.
I don't want to talk to anyone. Ring them up and go. Ugh.
No, pay by phone is the only app I've ever had to use.
Yeah, no. In Southend there are 5 different competing companies.
I must be lucky because Dulwich Park, where I sometimes drive, and here.
That's a go-by park or whatever, yeah.
It's pay by phone.
That's wild. Absolutely
pay by
wild.
Phone, baby.
Absolutely
all right, listen, if you're listening to this in the car and you do park in a minute, make sure you pay. it's not our fault if you don't.
No.
Let's have a quick break. When we come back, we are going to do some emails, of course. I'm actually going to do one about a man on a cycling trip. I bloody enjoyed it. I don't know if it's true, but it was just great. So we'll do that. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back just after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're all looking to make more sustainable choices. But making your own shoes out of natural materials could pose a few challenges. The twigs and leaves in your backyard aren't exactly comfortable. And while mud does perfectly contour the feet, it doesn't score high on the durability front. But thanks to Allbirds, you can skip all the backyard experimentation. At the Allbirds Innovation Lab, they're doing all the sciencey stuff, like research and testing to create shoes from natural, sustainable materials. And their innovative processes mean using less of the bad stuff and more of the good while making shoes unlike any other. Like the Plant Pacer, made with 100% plastic-free plant leather. the Tree Dasher, a running shoe made from eucalyptus tree fiber. And from Sugarcane, they've made the Superlight, their lightest shoe ever by weight and carbon footprint. It's not rocket science, it's shoe science. Allbirds is making shoes better than natural. They're supernatural. Find your perfect pair at allbirds.com today. That's allbirds.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
We're back at the Luke and Pete Show and your emails. Luke, do you want to kick us off with your aforementioned cycling one?
Yeah, so regular listeners to the show will know that I put a little line at the top of each email just to remind myself what it's all about. And this, and then I revisit it later and I always get entertained by it because I'm someone who likes to please myself. Liam Roberts and his mates have a time of it on a cycling trip is the title of this email. So we'll let Liam pick up the story. He says, what does he say? Hearing your show on Monday last week, talking about Ian Botham walking a steady 4 miles an hour, followed by your chat about TV in which contestants had to stay awake for as long as they could, reminded me of an ill-fated night when I was a student on a cycling trip. Cast your minds back to 2012, guys, because this is when this takes place. Liam says, in 2012, for the summer, two friends and I cycled to Amsterdam from Dunkirk, the trip taking a few days there and back. All round, it was a brilliant, brilliant time, but the end was a horrific tale of endurance. Have you heard this story, Pete?
No.
On the final day of Sunday, we had around 120 kilometres to cover to get our ferry at 4 a.m, which when you're sleeping in a tent and waking up at the crack of dawn didn't seem too bad for the amount of time we had. Fast forward 70 kilometres, we'd ridden, we'd stopped for a few bevvies, and we'd on the outskirts of the town of Ostend, Belgium, around 6 p.m. 3 hours cycle from the finish at a steady pace. So far, so good.
Okay.
This is when one of the riders' axles broke on his back wheel. At first, we didn't think it would be a problem. I rode to the town to try and find a bike shop, but nothing was open as it was a Sunday, so I rode back to the group. Next, we tried to look for a train, conceding that we might not be able to make it. No trains on the Sunday, no buses either. In the end, at around 8 p.m, so 8 hours before the ferry, we decided that we were going to have to walk it. We calculated that if we walked 4 miles an hour for 7.5 hours with a few 10-minute sit-downs, it would be achievable. This was very much the Belgian beer and student delusions of invincibility talking. We set off, two riding slow and one walking, taking it in turns to spread the load. One of the group had a speedometer and planned to let us know if we dropped below the speed. It wasn't difficult to start with, but it rapidly got worse. 10 p.m, everyone started to flag from the beers and the exercise. 12 midnight, puncture on one of the bikes, no more inner tubes, no time to stop. 1 a.m, last bike gets a puncture, so all three are now walking. 1:30 a.m, run out of water.
Oh no.
1:45, music player breaks, leaving the song Hats Off to Larry by Del Shannon on repeat, or just silence being the only options.
Very much like to know what that song goes
like. I'm sure he could tell you. 2 a.m. decided to discard Tense due to weight. this is like the last diary of like a lost group. 3 a.m. starting to hallucinate that I was in the Truman Show and felt like I could see cameramen, and I was spotting holes in the set thinking the trees were made of polystyrene. 3:30 a.m. one of the group injures a leg and is trying to hobble at 4 miles an hour. 3:45, wrong turn. 4 a.m. ferry leaves. 4:01 a.m. our arrival.
Oh, well done.
Not only have we one of the most exhausting days of our lives, says Liam, the entire reason we had done it was not achieved despite being so close. We then weren't allowed to stay at the ferry port and had to sleep outside next to a power station, no longer in the possession of any tents, with a keen fox regularly eating our leather bike seats in the night. Which is just like insult to injury.
Yeah.
The next day we had to fork out for new tickets to return home, including every train to get back to Bristol on the other side because we missed all the trains. All round a bad day, but a great trip. All the best, Liam. That is one of those things where you make decisions that don't seem that bad at the time, but just suddenly make everything worse.
Yeah, I just don't know how. I mean, axles you can't really fix, but I mean, it you can reinflate tyres, can't you? I mean, you can sort that side of things
out. How would
you
have done it, mate?
Probably would have driven.
Yeah.
Probably got a train or something.
I mean,
horrible situation.
I wondered if the hitchhiking thing was an option.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it didn't say what year it was. Has hitchhiking got safer? I don't know.
I don't even know if you can do it anymore, can you? No. I when I was living in New Zealand, I don't think I've told this story before. I was living with two mates, and we've been out on the booze, and like quite late, about 1:30 in the morning, we ended up heading back, and my two mates wanted to go to get a bit of food or something, and I just headed straight home.
Mm.
When I got back, I went into the flat, and it was summer, and I basically stripped down to my boxers.
Yeah.
And then I heard the next door neighbour having a bit of a booze up or whatever. And we knew him. And so in my boxers, because I was drunk, I knocked on his door. And it was just him and his mate. And he said, oh yeah, we're having a few beers. You know, you could join, bring the other lads. I said, oh, we're not here.
But please put your trousers on.
No, and I said, oh yeah, I will. I'm just going to get some clothes back on. As I said that, my front door closed and I was locked out.
Oh dear.
Right,
that's his house now, isn't it?
Yeah, and I was like, "Oh, right, great." So, I'll buy some clothes from you. And he was like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, I'll get around to it." And anyway, we were just chatting away. We were drinking, so I was just chatting away in my boxer shorts. It's not as bad as it sounds. I was just in my boxers, and that's I was young,
dude,
drunk. Yeah. Anyway, I thought I heard my mates, right? And so I went back out that flat. And that door closed, and his music was so loud he couldn't fucking hear me again. I think he just thought I'd gone home because he was pissed. So I stood outside in my fucking box, and those boys didn't fucking come back for hours.
Right.
So I sat outside my front door.
Did you have a little sleep?
I was nodding off, yeah.
Oh.
But it gets quite cold when you get to about 4 a.m., no matter how hot it is. Yes, it's fucking disastrous. Absolutely disastrous.
Look, that's horrific. What a horrible story. Again, a horrible story.
But luckily I didn't burst a puncture of a tire or anything.
Then all that lovely velvet fell off your horns.
Yeah, it did. Ugh. It did.
Right, let's have one from Andrew. Hello, Andrew. Hi, Luke and Pete. Luke's chat about his first experience smelling a skunk spray made me think of the skunk smell and scent associations. In the mid-80s, my dad had a kidney transplant. After the successful transplant, he took the medication cyclosporine daily to prevent kidney rejection. I always thought the medicine had a distinct smell, but I never found it unpleasant. Years later, I realised that what people referred to as skunk spray smell was the identical smell my brain associates to cyclosporine. People would say, a skunk must have died, the odour is strong, and I would just think it would smell like Dad's meds. It took an embarrassingly long time for me to make the connection that they were the same scent, but I never thought of it as foul because my brain associated the smell to keeping my dad alive, not smelly rodents. That's what memory association do to you. Love the show. Andrew, what a weird association. Would it be really that strong though? Like the
medicine? I don't really have any experience of medication smell of anything.
Banana. When you were a kid, remember the banana medicine? Delicious.
Oh, yeah, that like, cowpole type thing.
Yeah. There's a very I mean, you're jamming it up your nose, so you're going to know, aren't you? Bechonaise has a very distinct sort of smell.
Yeah, but I would have thought for some kind of anti-rejection medication, it would just be tablets, no?
I don't know. I don't know how you would take it, to be honest. Yeah, it probably wouldn't be a bottle you huffed.
I'll tell you what, if you were taking medication that smelled like skunk spray,
That you'd be like, hard. That's good. That's, yeah, that'd sounds like hard. Good stuff, doesn't it? The I remember Intel, what do you call them? Sort of inhalers for asthma in the 80s. You used to taste fucking disgusting. Like, it just used to properly taste like rotten. I hate it.
I think I had a go on a couple of my mates when I was a kid, and it didn't look very nice. But did your mates used to do that with you?
What, use
after
my...
I got on your inhaler?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
and it's weird.
Yeah. It is weird.
I couldn't really work out at the time, and I probably still can't, how it actually works.
What do you mean, as in, like...
What does it do?
Well, there's two kinds. One will be preventative, one's to keep on your person if you
Yeah, but what does,
tighten
it, what does it actually do?
So, I mean, I don't know how it actually activates, but...
How is spraying a lot of weird, really weird cold powder down your throat helping you?
So, it one's a muscle relaxant. So the one you're talking about there, if you...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, hello.
Yeah, bit of experience with those, <isn't it?
laughs> One's a muscle relaxant where, obviously, the tubes are, like, really tight. And your emergency one is just to sort of relax those pipes that are being irritated by, you know, dust or whatever. Yeah. Being irritated, because it tightens up when it gets irritated, because it tries to flush
it
out.
How many tight tubes have you got in your body? Because your bum hole was tight.
Yeah, I know,
well.
Right, yeah. I just needed a bit... I needed the reverse one for that, really. But, yeah, that just relaxes it. And then there's also a preventative one that tries to get rid of all of the crap that's in your lungs. So there's two different kinds.
Remember that story of that Russian guy who had a little tree growing in his lung?
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Was that just like...
He inhaled a seed by accident or something.
Come on.
I think
like,
he did.
Come on now.
That you get a lot of oxygenation. Pete, what when you were in 2012...
Doesn't want it, it's a tree.
When you were constipated for the whole... True. When you were constipated for the whole 2012, yeah. When you only had four poos in the whole year, calendar year... Mm. What was the actual problem?
There's a spider in the bathroom.
We should leave. We'll get to the bottom, pun intended, of your constipation issues another time.
All right.
We will be back on Thursday for more of this nonsense. We'll do some battery brands. We'll do some other bits and pieces as well, I'm sure. It's going to be lots of fun, so make sure you come back then. And it'll be September by then, Pete. Can you believe that?
Fuck off.
I wish I could, and so do our listeners. Hello at lukeandpeachshow.com to get in touch on the email, at lukeandpeachshow on the socials. We love hearing from you, so please do get in touch, and we will speak to you soon.
Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. Why One Question Time is a Stack production.